I hope that we can be enlarged in our burden and in our realization that when we talk about the work with the children, we would not be narrow to only think about our own children. Of course, we must be specific, and we must start with our own children. The promise is to you and to your children and to those who are far off. But I hope that, firstly, we can be enlarged to consider all the other children that are among us. Thank you. All the other children in the church life. I hope we would not be focused only on our own children. And so, with that burden, we would pray for all the other families. We would pray for the serving ones with the children. I hope we would never criticize someone that we have not yet prayed for. I hope that our heart could be enlarged so that we might have the sense, really, all the children are my children. All the children. No matter, you know their name, don't know their name, you see them, your heart just, there's a response in your heart. You care. You really care. You see a new baby among us, and you just feel, oh, thank the Lord. Another little vessel, like that one. Don't be bothered by as precious. Someday that little voice will be at the microphone, speaking for the Lord, and maybe with a friend that they invited standing next to them. That's what I hope you can see. When you see the children, that's what you see. But I hope you could be yet further enlarged for all the children. All the children. All the children in your neighborhood. All the children in your children's school. Even I would say, all the children in St. Catharines. All the children in Guelph. All the children in Hamilton. When you're driving and you see a playground and you see the children, you just pray, Lord, save those children. Save those children. If you are in a kind of depressed area, a neighborhood that you know maybe is not so good, even the crime rate is high, I hope even the more you would pray, Lord, these children are innocent. They start as innocent vessels. Could you penetrate into this neighborhood and save some of these children? You know, every baby is, you know, they start, right? Fresh little innocent vessel. And then you see some, even already 8 years old, damaged by the world. Doesn't your heart respond to that? I hope we would just have such a heart for the children. Especially, again, I say, the sisters, mommies. I hope you have such a heart. I hope you have the kind of heart that's not like this. My children are here. Of course, you know, we have to protect our children. I'm not saying to be foolish. We have to protect our children from evil influences and things like that. From the damage of the world. But what is our attitude? I know some young mothers, and I'm not talking about anyone here because I don't know anyone's situation. So please don't take this personally. But please take it personally. You know what I mean. But there are some sisters that when the baby is born, they're like, oh, 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 germs, germs. Oh, don't touch my child. Don't touch my child. Of course, you have to protect your child. But some mothers I've seen, and this is some sisters that in a sense you could say, I helped raise. I knew them. I knew them as babies. And I expected more from them. But they have such an attitude of oh, oh, oh. These are my children. No, no, oh, oh, oh. Even from the saints, they're protecting them from the saints. And they don't realize that they've never outgrown that attitude of the germs. Such a sister. I don't know how you can have a neighborhood children's meeting. I don't know how you can be so welcoming. But the ones who open their home to the neighborhood children's meeting, you can't be like this. You can't be like this. You have to be like this. You have to welcome, like the Lord in Luke. He welcomed the children. The disciples were like this. And the Lord, it says in Mark chapter 10, you know, this account of the children coming to the Lord Jesus is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the Lord, in Mark, it says, the Lord became indignant. Uses this word, indignant with the disciples. What is indignant? Oh, this is a kind of very specific anger with some expression. And he said to the disciples, what are you doing? Let the children come. Oh, that's the attitude we need to have. Let the children come. Let the children come. There was I don't know if I mentioned this to you, or maybe even Brother Tom mentioned this story to you about the cookie lady in London. Do you know this story, Ken? Okay, since Ken doesn't know, I'm going to repeat it. Even though maybe everybody else knows. There's a sister in London, UK. London, UK. And she moved there. And her, related to the, you know, migration, the training, the training that we have there and so on. So she moved there and she moved into a home that was actually, I don't know if the saints owned that apartment, but I do know that some saints occupied that apartment before them. So they arranged for them to take that home. And this home is in a corner lot. So the road is like this, in a T. Yeah. And so the housing is like this. There's a house here, house here, house here, like this. And this is their home. This is their home. So it faces the corner. So they moved in. And after a short while, they realized that this street corner here is one of the hangouts for the neighborhood children. And so, you know, there's a lot of children and they're playing and they're doing this and that. But when they stop playing with the ball or riding their bicycles or whatever, everybody goes over and that's where they talk. And right here, right outside her door. Now, when she was in the U.S., before she migrated, she, with two sisters, young sisters, was involved with a neighborhood children's meeting. Actually, they lived in one housing complex, apartment complex, and just like I told you with the other sister, they used a community room. Most of these buildings have a community room that you can, either rent or just secure for sometimes parties or dinners. So every week they would have a neighborhood children's meeting. So anyway, now she's in London. And those two sisters actually also migrated to London. Three of them. They all went to London. So she came out one day and sees these children on the corner. And spontaneously her heart just Oh, the children. So she starts to pray. And she prayed with these other sisters. So this is the inspiration that she received. She says, I'm going to bake some cookies. So she made some cookies. And one day, she just came out. She came out and said, children, hi. I'm Mrs. So-and-so. I live right here. And I want to know if you'd like some cookies. Now, what do you think their response was? Yeah. So they're, oh, so, you know, thank you. Okay, and then she, bye-bye. That's it. Okay. She did this a couple of times. I don't know exactly how many. And I had heard about this. So I asked her husband to invite me over to their home so that I could get this story directly from her and the other two younger sisters. So what I'm passing on to you is directly from these sisters. Okay. I went there last year. And by the time I sat with them and heard the story, I think this was 3 months from the time they started. Okay. They continued to pray. Then they felt it's time to start something. So they made some small invitation for the neighborhood children's meeting, describing what it was, and then they passed it out to these children. Okay. Well, after 3 months, by the time I heard the story, they were working every week with 37 children. And her living room is not that big, so they couldn't take all those children. So they have two shifts. One is on Wednesday afternoon for 1 hour. One is on Thursday afternoon. So I don't know how they did it, whether you sign up or she assigned or whatever. But if you come Wednesday, you cannot come Thursday. If you come Thursday, you cannot come Wednesday. And so she told me that some of them, when they first came, now you have to remember, these are children from the street. These are children she does not know. These are not children raised by us with our standards. And so they come into the house and, you know, and just some of them are jumping on the couch and all that. And so she had to tell them, no. Not here. This is not how you behave here. If you're going to do this, please, you cannot come. No, Mrs. No. Because they love her. They respect her. So for her, they behave. Maybe everywhere else, they don't behave. But for the cookie lady, they behave. So every week, they have about 18 or 19 in this little meeting. How? Because those three sisters are like this. And remember, if you're going to get somebody that you don't know from the street, you have to expect there'll be a few germs. But can your love overcome that? Of course, don't be afraid. You're not going to have 30-something right away. Maybe just one or two. Maybe just start where you are. I hope you would do it. I hope you have seen something of the great potential of the children's work. Actually, Brother Lee told us, he made this statement. He said that there is more potential of increase through the children's work than the college campus work. More potential of increase through the children's work. Another place he said, actually, the blessing is immeasurable. Yeah. If you have a heart, you will have a success. And we're seeing this. We're seeing this by sisters who tell us they can't do anything. By sisters who say they're not capable of doing anything. Sisters who say, I don't know what I'm doing. Yet, children are coming into their home. And I have more stories. but I need to get to the message. But I'll give you one more story. This is also in Australia, in another district in Sydney. There are two sisters. Both of them, their husbands are not meeting in the church. And they live a ways away from most of the saints. They actually live in another town outside of Sydney. So they are their district. The two moms. One sister has 4 children. The other one has, I think it's 3 children. They have 7 children between them. And this word, this fellowship, both of them just responded to this word. So 3 years ago, they decided they're just going to start with their own children. Meet every week with their own children. And so what's happened in these 3 years, now they have about 15, it's between 15 and 18 children that they're meeting with. And that was 3 years ago when they started, all of their children were in elementary school. Today, 3 years later, their 2 oldest are in grade 7. Grade 7. Okay. So when they started, they were in grade 4. But now they're in grade 7. Now they are young people. Now they are baptized. Now they are members of the body of Christ. I know these 2 children. Oh, they come to the summer school. They prophesy. There's something different about them. You know why? Because they bear responsibility in their neighborhood children's meeting. So it helps them to grow up a little faster. Because they're helping their mommies in the neighborhood children week by week. They lead the singing. They help with the craft. Oh, saints, don't underestimate the value of this kind of a training. And their friends are starting to be saved. The ones that they brought when they were in 4th grade. Now they're in 6th and 7th grade. Some of their friends are already saved. These sisters live, it's a very small community. These sisters live, you can walk to the school. You can walk to the school. Well, it's getting too big for either of their homes. So what they have decided to do is, next to the school, there's a government administration building. And in their neighborhood children's meeting is a boy. His daddy works at that government administration building. So the mommy suggested they rent there. They rent there. For $20 on a Wednesday afternoon, they have that place for 3 or 4 hours. So they were, I was with them in January. They were just about to start. Actually, I don't know the result yet. But I expect they're renting this facility right next to the school. I told them, sisters, within 6 months, you will have 40 children. The children will just come from the school right to that place on Wednesday afternoon. So I'm waiting and expecting for this report. These 2 sisters, unassuming, humble, they both feel, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. Oh, they write me all the time for fellowship. They write me all the time. They just are depending on the Lord. Depending on the Lord. And the Lord is blessing their labor. And the Lord is blessing each of their households. Each of their households. I just want to give you this testimony. Okay, let's come to outline 2. Outline 2, which in the book is number 6. The person living and responsibility of the parents. We cannot talk about the children without talking about the parents. And again, this is a long outline. I don't have the burden to go point by point. What I want to do is really give you some burden, and then we will touch some of the points. Let us begin with Roman 3. Roman numeral 3. Together, please. Apart. Now, in the book of Proverbs, it does say something about parenting. I hope you could read those verses. I hope you could apply those verses. But I don't have the burden to get into that. But the point is, in the whole Bible, not too much how to. But we do see a good number of examples. Very good examples. Last night, we talked about Noah. We talked about Noah. Actually, he's listed here. Here you have in point A, Adam and Eve, the first parents. We can learn something from them. Point B, Abel. Point C, Noah. Point D, Moses. We also talked about Moses' family. This is an interesting thing, especially in the Old Testament, but also in the New. So many of these, that we would consider to be the witnesses of faith. Actually, sometimes we call them age turners. Samuel, David, Daniel, all of them, men of God that God used to turn the age. But do you realize every one of them was at least a second generation? Every one of them. It's not that God came to them directly, like with the Apostle Paul. Every one of them was produced in a godly family. Of course, Noah, we mentioned last night. We know the story of Noah, but really consider. Noah, it says, found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. It says that Noah walked with God. But was he the first to walk with God? No! Who walked with God first? Enoch. Enoch with the CH. And who was Enoch? Enoch was his great-grandfather. Enoch was his family. You know, we read the Bible, and we read it like it's the Bible. But stop for a moment and consider. Stop for a moment. I don't know how many of you here, you ever got to know your great-grandfather. How many of you got to know anybody here? Your great-grandfather. Great-grandfather. Yeah. I actually only have known one of my grandparents. Yeah. The others were gone. My father, he's almost 96 years old, my father. And I'm going to tell you a little story about him tonight. But my father has seen his fifth generation. Yeah, fifth generation. So it's possible that four generations can be together, five generations. Possible. That's how my family is right now. There are five generations alive at the same time. So consider, especially the length of time that these people lived at the beginning. It's not a strange thing. It's not a strange thing. However, Noah did not know Enoch. They didn't overlap. But he knew his grandfather, Methuselah. Methuselah. And Methuselah, don't you think Methuselah told stories to Noah? Noah, come here, Noah. Come on, Noah. On his knee. Say, Noah, I'm going to tell you something about my daddy. He's your great-grandpa. He was a very special man. Very special man. Great-grandpa Enoch. Don't you think Noah had an impression? Wow, what a family I'm in. My one of my grandpas walked with God and was not. I don't know what that means. But that's what my grandpa said. He walked with God and he was not. So I'm going to walk with God. Maybe one day I'll not. So he walked with God. Then it says, Noah, he set up an altar. Was he the first to set up an altar? No. His great-great-grandpa, Abel, set up an altar. It says, Noah called on the name of the Lord. Was he the first to call on the name of the Lord? No. His great-great-grandpa, Enosh, called on the name of the Lord. What a family. What a family. So you see, Noah was produced to be a certain vessel. Then God came to him directly. Then. Yes, every one of our children need God to come to them directly. But it's based on something. Will they be the proper vessel at the time when God comes to them? Moses, the same way. We think Moses is a hero. But Moses had to be prepared in a godly family. Samuel, the great priest. He brought in the kingdom. He ushered in the age of the kingdom. But we know the story. The story doesn't start with Samuel. The story starts with Hannah, a desperate woman. Desperate to have children. How many women on this earth have that kind of feeling? And they pray. They also pray. Lord, give me a child. But this woman, she added something. She said, Lord, give me a child and I'll give him back to you. Meet my need so that I can meet your need. Who prays that? How did this girl get this concept? She says, I have lent him to Jehovah. How could someone lend God anything? You know, God is God. God, if God wants something, he just speaks it. How did this girl realize that God was poor, quote unquote, in something? You know, if I ask you to lend me something, if I say, Brother David, could you lend me your pencil for a minute, your pen? That means what? I need something and I don't have what I need, but you have what I need. You could help me, right? So, lend. I say, Mark, can you lend me a dollar so I can go to the and get a soda? What does that mean? That means I even don't have a dollar. So this girl says, God, I'm going to lend you my son. She doesn't say give, offer. She says, use the word lend. Why? Where did this girl get this vision? I have no idea. But she met God's need. And then got her own need met at the same time. I tell you, that's a principle of prayer. You have a need? Say, okay, Lord, I'll make you a deal. You meet my need. And in meeting my need, actually, I will meet your need. That's the way to pray. So this is the kind of woman that was the mother of this boy. And she only had him until he was weaned. And then she lent him to Jehovah. And you know, the environment in which Samuel grew up was terrible. He grew up in God's house. But his two, quote unquote, big brothers were terrible people. Evil priests. And yet, he wasn't affected by them. Oh, isn't that what you want for your children? You put something into them, they can survive even in the unhealthy environment. Germs don't bother them. They just advance. They just go on. Where did that come from? That came from henna. So actually, my point is, every age turner was produced. And in this age, there's the same need. We need age turners to be produced. So, dear saints, actually, as parents and as grandparents and as uncles and aunts to these children, we play a great role because we want to raise age turners. We want to raise the generation that will consummate this age. Now, how can we do that? Let's come to the beginning of the outline. Romans 1. God pays more attention to what we are than to what we do or to what we can do. He cares for the kind of person we are and for the kind of life we live. In the church, the most important thing is the person. The person is the way, and the person is the Lord's work. And the burden here, saints, is that actually everything depends not on what we teach the children, but on our person, what kind of person we are while we are leading our family. Our example and our pattern means more than what we say. We still need to say. We still need to teach. But there must be a consistency in what we teach and how we live. Okay. We continue in Romans 2. We need to see that we are God-men, born of God and belonging to God's species. This is the beginning of the God-man living. Let's go to B. Let's read B together. We need to have a God-man living in our married life. Sisters, could you read 1, please, and then brothers, number 2? I hope we could consider these two quotations in 1 and 2. To me, this is like an x-ray to beam right into your daily life at home. You know, I found, and I discovered this with myself too, that it's very possible when we speak to saints, we speak with a certain tone in our voice. But when we speak to our spouse, you may not notice, your tone changes sometimes. See, if you would call me, nearly anyone here, if you would call me, you would say, "Ricky," I go, "Yes." And then my wife calls me. I go, "Mm-hmm. Yeah? Like, what? 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 I'm having fellowship with the saints." I caught myself a number of times, even with my children, the same. Has this never happened? Maybe you're on the phone. "Oh, yes. Oh, yes, brother. Amen. Yeah." And then Then the little child comes. Daddy, 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 daddy. Then you go, what? Can't you see I'm on the phone? No, that's. Can't you see I'm on the phone? You say, dear, your son. It's funny here, but this never happened. And that face, after some time, it's very possible that your child will realize that the only people that get that face is them and mommy. Because as soon as you get back, brother, I'm sorry. Yes. Even maybe in your parking lot. Amen. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And then your wife says, what should we do for lunch? I said, lunch? What, you didn't cook? Like, and then somebody taps on your window. Amen. This never happened? Don't you think in the back seat, the children are watching this, taking the notes? And then when they grow up, they treat their spouse exactly the same way. Because it doesn't matter our teaching, it matters our person. And we're infusing them, shaping them, shepherding them much more by our being than by our word. The key here, saints, two keys I'd like to highlight. In point one, it says in the second sentence, those who live a life of always denying ourselves and being crucified. Point B1, denying ourselves and being crucified. We need the work of the cross in order to have the God-man living. And the cross needs to operate at home, especially in our speaking. And then in point two says we need to talk according to the Spirit and do all things according to the Spirit. Now what does that mean? That means according to the sense in our spirit. Sometimes we could, on the Lord's Day, in the meeting hall, we try to use our spirit to pray, to sing, to speak. But sorry to say, right after the meeting, we don't use our spirit that much. On the way home, the children, I want. And it just seems like we don't have the patience, even 3 minutes. The patience to speak to them. No. We told you already. Today we're not going out. Today we have to go home. But it's so easy too. I told you already. We just, not according to the Spirit. We need the cross in a practical way. And sometimes that just comes by calling on the name of the Lord. Just wait 3 seconds. Just wait 5 seconds before reacting. And I would say, better not out loud. Especially if you're about to react to your spouse. Don't O Lord Jesus at them. Did you ever, O Lord Jesus, to somebody? Brother Ron says, Brother Ricky, I say, oh, Lord Jesus, what? But don't do that. Don't do that. In your heart. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes, brother? The cross will operate. Maybe you're in the other room. Maybe you're on the computer, brothers. And your dear wife calls you for dinner. Dinner's on the table. You go, I'm busy. Maybe. Yes, dear. Coming. Maybe just those 5 seconds to call the name of the Lord. You activate your spirit. And the divine spirit in our spirit, the compound spirit that includes the myrrh and the cinnamon, the death of Christ and the effectiveness of His death and the sweetness of His death operates within us in a 5 second automatic span. And our reaction is crossed out. And we can say, yes, dear. You know, that's a way to shepherd your spouse. And it's also a good example to the children. There's a lot more we could say. Let's go to the last point. Romans 5. At the very end. Let's read together Romans 5. We must realize that the Christian life is a life of sowing. Sisters A. Brothers. Especially with our speaking. We sow tiny seeds, and it takes time for those seeds to sprout, to blossom, to be manifested. And we may not realize that something, some action in our children today is actually the result of some action from us 3 years ago. We're sowing tiny seeds. We sow seeds, even saints, with our expression. We sow seeds in our speech. We sow seeds in our action. We sow seeds in our purchases. The way we spend our money is shaping our children, even in this. We sow seeds in which meetings we go to and don't go to. We sow seeds by when we take our family vacation in connection with what the church is doing that weekend or that week. All of this is a sowing of the seed. So do we want to produce the age turners? We do. We want to meet the Lord's need. But actually, this comes back to our living. We need the practical God-man living. And that is by the cross and through the Spirit. By the cross and through the Spirit. Maybe that's sufficient for now. How about again, we have a little prayer to respond to the word 2x2. Is it okay to still take a few minutes, brothers? Sorry we haven't given you that much time to share this morning. We could still take a few minutes for your sharing. But let's pray first. Let's pray 2x2 or 3x3, and then you can have some time.